Enlighten Me, the podcast everyone is talking about, with your host, Julian, where wisdom, knowledge, and experience meet the public.
This is your host, Julian, on Enlighten Me. Thank you all for joining me on this beautiful Saturday. It is the 30th of March. Before we get started, if you could please just go ahead and rate this podcast. Give me whatever star you feel is applicable to it. If there's anything I can do better, go ahead and just email me at enlightenmejulian@gmail.com. Still hitting 128 countries, 5 stars. Thank you for the support. Just hit the 100th episode. It's a video. Check it out on YouTube on Enlighten Me Podcast. I'm going to go ahead and introduce my guests. I'm going to do something different this time instead of having them introduce themselves. I have Nikki. I went to high school with her. She's 33 from Virginia, and she's an artist. How you doing, Nikki?
I am good.
Good, good. Thank you for joining me. Now, can you tell me a little bit about your art?
I'm an abstract artist, and I kind of just paint freely. You can find my art. Can I do like my little pitch or whatever?
Yeah, do what you gotta do.
I was like, you can find my art strictly on Instagram. I am only on Instagram. Nikki J by Creation, the letter X after after the end of Creation. Go there. You can book me for your live events, and you can get commissions, or you can just buy original prints from me on there. So thank you for having me today.
And of course, and thank you for joining me. Oh, it's gonna be pretty intense
with your little quiet storm voice.
You know, started me out. I'm talking to myself now. What's going on, Casey? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
All right, I have my next guest, Casey from Virginia. She's 33 years old. Nah, you doing well, Casey?
I'm doing pretty good. No complaints.
Thank you for joining me on Enlighten Me. This all stemmed from your post. Let me go read your post. Let me see if I can find this on Facebook. How many days ago was this? I don't see it.
It was like 2 days ago.
Yesterday? It was either like 2 days ago.
Lord,
I post a lot. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Better yet, go ahead and tell me.
All right. Well, I reposted this post about how basically my soulmate might be a snowman, aka a Caucasian man. I am a black woman. So like, you know, I like my black men. That is what it is. It has nothing to do with me being black or anything. But generally, that's where I like. That's what I like. But I made the post say, like, you know, maybe my soulmate might be a snow bunny, because snowman, not a snow bunny, whatever your preference is. But maybe that might be where I need to be looking at, because the black men that I've encountered aren't for me, or just not what I want in my life when at the age that I'm at right now.
And you agree with this, Nikki, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And where did this all stem from, Casey?
Well, okay. Well, it stemmed from, you know, I won't say like my last 2 decades of dealing with people, because, you know, I would have only been 13 and I wasn't dealing with no one then. But like, you know, at least the last 15 years, like dealing with black men, more so boys, it's just hasn't been good, like from either talking to me any type of way or mistreating me, from trying to be physical, trying to steal my money, taking my car to go cheat and do all these other things with other women. It's just like most, I don't want to say most is like a big number, but a lot of black men are just kind of like predatory dogs. Like, and I don't even want to, like, you know, start bashing people either, but it's just like most of them, it's like they don't really want to be in relationships. They just want to deal with this girl for a little bit, then go deal with this girl for a little bit and do whatever they want until maybe possibly they get caught, because that's typically when they stop doing stuff, when they get caught. But it's just like, that's just like too much for me. I'm ready to, like, you know, be married, settle down, like build a foundation, build a life with someone, create things with someone. But most of these men out here that I've encountered, they say they want these things, And in the beginning, it seems like they're truly about these things. They paint this perfect picture that they are these perfect men. But as soon as they get you where they want you, like, oh, okay, she's not going to go nowhere. They're going to start changing up. And like, I don't want that. I don't need that. I don't even want that type of energy around me. And I also have children. So it's like, I want them to be around a man that actually values his family, provides for his family, and can show them what to look for when they go out here later on in life. So what they're not picking the wrong person.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about your story, Nikki, based on what you experienced? What did you say?
Sorry, my kid came in.
Oh, you're fine.
My experience is I've just a lot of things that I just noticed. Well, the first thing I've noticed when it came to relationship is I've only made it to 1 year and some change with one man solid. Like there were no breaking up. It was complete 1 year and like 4 months. And the rest of my relationships were only maybe like 6 to 9 months. Or, you know, they would be on and off for years. But my experience when it came to dating Black guys is, why do I have to work so hard?
Yeah.
Like, why am I working so hard to keep your attention? Why am I working so hard to prove that, you know, I'm a good woman to you? As in, like, I genuinely am a good woman. There's always room for improvement because that's growth. And everybody wants to grow. But like, I'm not saying like you have to fall in like for my potential, but it's just like everybody has potential in some kind of way. You know, if you're not already your best self, you know, you're working to be your best self and you can just, you know, be on that journey with me if you authentically like me. If I look back on my relationships, I feel like a lot of them liked me, but the minute I started to grow, they started to dip. Because I would never say stagnant. You know, my mindset would get better. You know, the way I would respond to things would get better. So it's like, you're not going to be able to treat me a certain way for too long because I'm going to outgrow you real quick.
Yeah, you need somebody that's going to either grow with you or already has met that max growth where they need to be. So when you change, they're already ready for whatever person you become.
Exactly.
When you deal with someone who isn't ready for change or doesn't want to grow, as soon as you start to improve yourself, they're like, what you doing? You trying to change up on me? Oh, you out here cheating. You out here doing X, Y, Z. No, I just wanted to do better for myself. I wanted to feel better about myself. And it has nothing to do with these extra things.
Yeah, no.
So exactly. I'll say for the most part, and I am a man, I can speak upon this. Most men, our dogs and most men do cheat. You know, you have the select few, just like women as well, who are looking for something authentic and genuine and can view themselves as wanting marriage and being a wife or a husband, whatever it may be. And for you, Case, I don't know how long you were with this gentleman. How long are you with him for? Kid, child, what are you going to call him?
My ex, I was with him for 11 years, on and off a little bit. Like, we broke up, like, twice because he cheated. And yes, I know. I went back.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go. You know, I'm going to get down to the nitty gritty.
My story works.
But overall, we were together for 11 years. And I really thought that was someone I was definitely going to get married to because, like, you know, this sounds crazy, but I had that invisible engagement ring on my finger a couple times. So I thought, you know, it was going to get real at some point, but it never did. And that was just a way to kind of like hold me in place because he saw that I was a good woman. He saw that I wanted to. Now, this might be like, oh, you're bringing in like 1980s standards, but like, I love to cook. I love to cook in general. I love to cook for him or whoever because I know like you fed, you're taken care of. I love to make sure the house was looking good. But then I got to the point where, and make sure I look good. But then I got to the point where, like, I'm not going to keep doing all of this. If you're going to keep doing the things you're doing from cheating, stealing my money, taking my car when I was sleeping to go do whatever you was doing the drugs, all of that was more important than me. And I can't prove that to you no more. So I'm just going to, you know, relax, do me. You eat when you decide to cook and things like that. And that's when things started to kind of hit the fan. Like,
I'm not going to keep doing X, Y, and Z if you're going to keep mistreating me. And then the fact that you have a problem with me not doing these things, or you have a reason why you did these things. Well, I only did this because you haven't cooked dinner for me in 2 days. I only did this because you didn't put on nice clothes today.
So like, my question, I was doing a podcast with somebody, and the guy was, and now she just verified it because I didn't believe it, that I guess he got upset because the color she was wearing or the clothes she was wearing. I don't know, something weird. I guess it is a thing. It really is a thing. That's out of control, actually. So you were raised with both your parents, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And do these men or boys, whatever you call them again, little peasants, do they emulate your father at all?
Peasants.
Yeah, that's my favorite
no.
word.
No. And what's crazy is, I think the reason why it's a no for me is because, yes, I wanted those things that I saw, like, through my parents, like, oh, the great two-parent household, watching my grandparents both be together. When right. one passed away, they didn't move on or whatever have you. Like, I wanted that real love, that soulmate love. But then for some reason, I got into, like, a weird rebellious stage where I was like, I don't want nobody like my daddy. I want the opposite. So I got the opposite, and as I realized, I'm like, yo, this is not what I should have been looking for. This is not what I want, really. Like, but I feel like at some point, we go through a phase that's not good for us, and sometimes that includes letting people in our lives that shouldn't be there.
So yeah. You wanted the bad boy. Knew your father was a good man. Trusted your father, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, a great man.
Look at that. God. And then you strayed from what you grew up around. That's interesting, Chris. So what made you want this bad boy? And accept that he cheated on you?
And what's crazy is, I wouldn't even classify him as a bad boy when I first met him. When I first met him, I thought he was, in a sense, like my dad. I saw what I saw with my eyes, not what the real picture was at first. What I saw with my eyes, he was a provider. He provided for his children. He went to work. He had all the boxes checked off, from, you know, good looks to me, car, like, you know, like I said, job, had a relationship with his family, X, Y, and Z. When I found out that that was just what he wanted to paint for me, because he knew that I was the good girl and he knew that that's what I really want. But then it turned out that he was the bad guy. And it was like, I got to the point where I was already intertwined too deep, where I was like, okay, maybe it's not that bad. He lied about his age. It was like a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm like, okay, maybe, like, you know.
Just where do y'all find these men?
I found all him my at boys. His house. I found him. I met him through a friend.
Or something. Oh, okay.
No. I met him, like, this was like old fashioned meeting. Like, I literally met him through a homegirl. She was like, hey, you want to come hang out with me and some of my homeboys and some of my friends? Like, you know, we just kind of like chatting it up, chilling, cool, and whatever. And I was like, sure, I don't got shit to do. So I went, and it was his house. Obviously, he was there. And it started off truly as a friendship in the beginning. Like, we played video games, we watched TV, we watched movies, we fucking would drink, chill, whatever have you. And it was just strictly just on that friendship vibe time. And then at some point it changed. And I feel like, I don't know, that's probably where my mind got fucked up. Because, yeah.
So
because I looked past all the red flags that were there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They were there and they were waving.
I understand love. I'm sure you're in love with this man, or loved him. I'm sure.
I mean, I did.
It makes us do crazy things that we never thought we'd do. Because, and I'll admit to it, I can contest to this wholeheartedly. But I think at some point, especially the cheating, I mean, you could take back a cheater. I'm not for cheating. I don't approve it.
Yeah.
I mean, some people think that after they cheat, that okay, it was just that one time. It was just an accident.
No, because
you slipped.
Once you cheat and you accept him or her back, you become more susceptible to the fact that they could cheat again. Because, like, well, she tolerated that. She took me back. That's, she'll do the, like, same thing again.
Like, what are you willing to tolerate? What are you willing to accept?
Well, she'll be all right. She'll be all right.
Way now that I know she's not going anywhere and stuff. So.
So him being a black, so I can say some of the stuff you said, I've heard from white men. I've heard from Hispanic men as well. You have a good foundation. We talked offline, I think, yesterday for a little bit.
Yeah.
You have a good foundation of men around you. You have your father. I think you have a gentleman at church and a couple other men.
My grandfather. I have, like, you know, my bishop at church. I have other male figures, like uncle figures, like at church. And these are all great men.
And they're all black men, is that correct?
And they're all black men.
So what makes you think that you can't find what you're around? That's my question.
What makes me think I can't find that is because, like, I'm not saying I'm out here, like, searching high and low, but, like, you know, I'm out here looking. Like, I've been on different dating sites. I've tried to, like, you know, do the, like, you know, a friend of a friend. Like, I've tried to go out and, like, you know, just different settings to meet people, like, different, like, singles events and things like that to meet people. And, like I said it before, like, in the beginning, they seem like great people, but then they show that they're just, like, the other ones. Like, they do the same things, or they're, like, even the ones that you least expect it. Like, there was a gentleman that I was thinking that it was gonna hit it off real good. Like, he was great. He seemed like he was a great dad. Like, you know, got all his stuff together, his own house, car provided, is getting school, getting his degree, like, to better himself. But then it turns out that he's just like every other guy that, like, oh, I want you. Like, I desire to be with you. You are who I can see myself be, like, being with long term. But there's this other shorty low that I got back here that, like, how I don't know guys? What it is, but I can't let this one go. Wow.
Wait, how many guys you got? I was reading something. How many you have?
What?
How many guys you have?
How many guys?
Oh, how many guys that I'm talking to? I'm not talking to nobody.
Well, at this interesting.
Moment, but I only had one guy that I was talking to not too long ago. And he was, like I said, he seemed great. Like, he seemed really good. But then, like I said, he had me and another one and probably another one and another one. But, you know, it's always, like, you never know. Even when you change up what you like, oh, I like him tall, dark, and handsome. Like, okay, well, maybe that's my problem. Maybe yeah. I should try something new. Let me try short, light-skinned, and bald-headed and see how that goes.
There's nothing wrong with bald-headed, man. My bald-headed brothers, I love y'all out there.
Bald-headed
is beautiful.
I went from tall, dark, handsome to short, light-skinned, bald-headed, and it's like they're just the same. So I was like, maybe I should try a whole another ballpark.
I'm all for love. Like, I've dated the rainbow and the LGBTQ, but the rainbow.
I've dated the rainbow.
I had to put that out there. But okay. Yeah. All right, Case, we're gonna come back to yours. Nikki, what is your story, and why is it that you want to stray from this as well?
It's not necessarily straying. It's just, you know, being open to it. Because I've only dated one white guy, and that was in high school. And kind of the opposite of Casey is that, you know, I had both my parents. And to be honest, I was looking for a man that was like my dad and my brothers, because they're all such good men. My older brother has been with the same woman since junior year of high school. Wow. And they're married, and they have, you know, their life is all together. They have their son now. And it's just like, why can't I get that? And then my little brother, who was rough around the edges, he's with a Filipino woman who I absolutely adore. And it's just the way they treat their women. It's like both of their women are independent, they're strong, they're hard workers, but around my brothers, they just get to be women.
They get to be dainty.
They get to just be women. Like, they come in and they have, well, more so my younger brother, because my younger brother's girl likes labels and stuff. You know, she gets, like, these new purses, she gets new outfits, they get new shoes, new tech, all this other stuff, because they're techie people. You know, my older brother and his wife, they're always traveling somewhere, going here, going to this party, going to this event and everything. And then my mom and dad, you know, my dad has always provided for us. Like, you know, even when he didn't have it, he still always just provided, because, you know, I'm the only girl. So he was very keen on just be a lady, just be a girl. You know, a man needs to do this for you, a man needs to do that for you. So when I would start dating, I was never attracted to the bad boys, the hood guys, the gang stuff, like, never. I would look at them like, why are y'all doing that? Like, what is your problem? And so I try to go for the straight lace type of dudes. And even then, it was more so, you're going to take care of me before I start taking care of you. What?
Right.
What? And so, you know, just being that lady and everything that I was raised to be, I was just like, okay, if I show them I'm wifey material and I put my quotes up, if I'm wifey material, then okay, I'll get a ring. And no, you know, it would be, I would be used for sex. I would be used just for like, basically, looking back, I was a placeholder because I noticed out of 50% of the guys that I have dated, the women they got right after me ended up being their wives.
Facts.
And
I hear this a lot. That's
and
crazy.
I absolutely hate that because it's like, what was so wrong with me to the point I couldn't get the ring? I couldn't, you know, become the wife and everything. And this was before I was a mother.
Yeah.
So after I became a mother, you know, I got more serious about who I let around me because I don't mess with people who mess with children. Okay. If you're looking at my child too long, you got to go because there's something wrong with you.
Okay. No, I respect
like,
that.
I don't play with that. Like, you know, I don't play with that. So even after, I think after Mason was born, there were, what would you say, Casey? Maybe three, two guys, maybe?
Two guys, maybe.
It was maybe. It was Aunt, and then I think then it was they afterwards, and then that's it. Because I was not trying to see her have a revolving doors of guys. Right. Now, with Anthony's situation, and I don't care, I'll say names. That was kind of touching on my fault a little bit, because I saw the red flags, and I stayed. You know, he cheated, we broke up for who knows how long, he weaseled his way back in. And it was kind of on and off for probably 7 years, 6 years. No, I'm going to say probably 8 years because I didn't have Mason when I first got involved with him. 8 years on and off. And it was just like I was asking him, you know, let's do this. No, I'm too tired. Take me on a date. Let me just come over. Come over, we have sex. Sex was terrible, and then he would dip out. But I stayed because there was one, I had changed a mindset to like, okay, I'm a mom now. There's not going to be a lot of men that want me now. So this guy has been in my life before my daughter. Maybe it'll just get better. And it just didn't. This man ended up having two children behind my back. Two children behind my back. And me and him all together, we lost four children together.
Jeez.
Four. Well, so I could have had five kids right now if, you know, God didn't, you know, take those children back. And, you know, I'll admit it, and I'm not afraid to say it. I had to terminate two of those children because of his cheating and finding out somebody else was pregnant at the same time I was. I was not doing that. It's like, I'm sorry. So even after all that, I was like,
You would continue to have, so the first time that you had to rid one of the children, did you think about marriage after that? Like, hey, if we're going to do this, we need to be set a foundation of possibly engagement
actually,
or marriage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was actually towards the end because the first two I miscarried. So that was stress. So towards the end, I was like, look, we're not even, I'm not giving you my body no more until I see full commitment from you. And that I would feel that's when my celibacy journey started. And I was also getting closer to God at that time. So my discernment as I started getting closer to God was like, okay, I have to look for these flags. The minute I see a red flag, I dip. So after him, there was probably two casual guys that I saw. One guy, when we first started talking, he was a divorced guy. And we never entered into a relationship. We only talked maybe for about 4 months. But within that 4 months, I heard, I don't think I want to get married again. And I don't want any more children. He already had a son. So I'm like, okay, cool. Me and you can be friends. I'm not going to move forward with you. Come to find out, maybe a month or so after, he met some girl. They got married.
Yeah, but that's not going to last.
And they, no, I mean, they're going on maybe 4 years now.
Okay, that is going to last.
Yeah, that is going to last because she had.
That means nothing. I was with someone for 11 years and it did not last.
Well, I mean, usually when you get out of something so quick, unless he was the problem, then You know, you manned up.
Well, who's to say? Because he's in a little happy little relationship with a lady that is like, I guess that might be
here's the kicker.
She did. Yes.
No, here's the kicker when it came to that guy. We're going to, I'm not going to say his name, but you know, his name is A. Another A.
Asshole.
Because he wasn't a big problem, but, you know, he had a son. He also, I noticed one reason I decided to leave was because I noticed he had an issue with Mason. Mason was maybe 3.5, 4 at the time. So she was going through that terrible threes, terrible fours. You know, those listening ears were not there. And, you know, I didn't, he wasn't that person that was like, oh, I'm going to help her, you know, discipline this child or anything. He saw her as a burden.
How old was his child?
His child was probably 7.
How old was he at the time?
We were both in our 20s, like late 20s. I had to be maybe 27, 28.
Okay.
We were the same age. But this new girl had 2 children, a boy and a girl. And he just seemed to scoop them right on up. And then they added a little one. Remember, he didn't want any more kids, but they had a baby together. He didn't want to get married, but they got married.
Did y'all ever have sex?
Probably once or twice.
So that's the thing. I shouldn't be giving out the guy code, but I mean, it's whatever at this point.
Listening ears are on.
When men are pursuing you, we pursue usually for sex. That's just what it is. We have other intentions behind it, but the first thing we are physical creatures, visual creatures as well. So we see that, we want that, we go for it. And some men will just put a notch in their belt. They'll be like, okay, I had sex with her. She has a great personality, or she's, of course, sexy. That's why I had sex with her. And then they stray from there. They just go on about their day. So you got to be careful. A lot of men just do want sex, and they can, like Casey, in your predicament, he put up a good front for a while, and then once he got it, he just started becoming a shitbag.
You're right.
So I always get bashed for this. I always get emails over this. I tell women to wait like 90 days. Some women can't wait 2 days, and that's whatever it is. They love sex, got it.
And here I am, you know, waiting.
Casey laughing too hard.
You know, I've been waiting for, I don't know what, Casey, 3.5 years now?
Oh, you've been celibate for 3.5 years?
It's a long time. That's all I know.
That's good. I just did a podcast on celibacy.
And I mean, I love this version of myself because I know, I was like, okay, if I do entertain a guy, now I know, and you know, I tell them, hey, I'm abstinent until I'm in a serious commitment. If they stay and they try to still get to know me, okay, I'll do that. But the minute they're trying to tempt me to try to do something, they gotta go.
Yeah, because now they're not respecting your boundaries. If they're not gonna respect something that's that important to you and vital to you, then down the road, whatever it may be, it's going to transpire into that as well. So you're dodging a lot of bullets.
Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with it. It sucks. It's lonely, but, you know, it is what it is. I got 100 things I need to do.
You can
think
clearer, though. I was talking to a lady last night. She's been celibate for, I think, 2 years as well. Jen, which, you know, I can be anybody. But Jen, she was telling me that she's been celibate for quite some time. She's struggling with it now because now she's tempted to do something. And I told her don't, because you can think clearer with celibacy.
That, and, you know, if you get tempted, it'll also remind you of why you did it in the first place. Because it's like, it's never worth it, really. It's really not.
It's not. The feeling of 3 minutes is not worth some grief or disappointment at the end of that.
Exactly. Or, you know, you can catch something, you can have a pregnancy scare, all that mess. Like, no, and it's, and if, to be honest, if you're not in love, it's really pointless. I was like, I could care less about pleasing you. Please get off of me.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy about it. He said the same thing I've been saying. When there's emotional bond, sex is so much better.
Yes.
It's just physical, because at that point, I can do whatever I want to myself.
So getting back onto the topic of, you know, we're straying from there. I was telling Casey that I got approached by a white guy through a dating app. And that was like the first time I've ever really been approached by a white guy. And we've had a few conversations, but I've determined that, like, he's not for me. Like,
I would say men as a whole. Yeah, there is different ethnicity pluses and minuses. Like, I think Case presented that white men and black women have a better or they're less likely to get divorced than two black individuals. Black man, black woman.
My thing is just, I can't find myself attracted to them. I just can't.
I think we just got to see, again, everybody has their own preference. I think we have to see past the race, past the skin, and start going to how genuine they are, where their heart lies. What do they support me? Do they love me? Can they accept my flaws? Can they accept that I have a child? Can they accept I'm busy? Can they accept I'm trying to build a business? Like, do they support my business? Are they okay with me having a business?
Right.
Because you stated, I think earlier, let me look at my notes, that you start growing and a lot of men become detached.
Detached.
Yeah. And men, I'll admit it, men don't like their woman being better than them.
Yeah.
So they'll try to push you back down to be underneath them while they're staying stagnant.
Maybe that's what it is with maybe some black men or just some men in general. They have that little insecurity somewhere in them that they feel like if my woman makes more money than me or if she looks like she's doing better than me, I'm failing. So I need to somehow push her down a little bit in some way. And I just feel like most of them do that.
And that's where you have to be careful with who you're dating. Because I don't know if these men have both their parents growing up. That does play
with vital my importance. Last one, with Zay, he was a divorcee child. And his parents got officially divorced when he was a teenager. So that is a crucial, crucial moment for, you know, a man to see his dad go off and go start taking care of another woman's teenage son and leaving him and his mom. So I can definitely see how a lot of that played into like him not wanting really relationships or him not really wanting a family, because all he grew up in was turmoil, arguing back and forth. But when it came to like us, like I was telling you, Jay, and Casey already knows the whole story, is if this man saw me enough as a good woman to potentially marry, but the attraction level was not there, why the heck would you even move forward? Like, what is the reason? And I feel like a lot of black men do that. It's like they think they want something, they get it, and then they're like, oh, do I linger in here or do I dip out? And it'll be one of the two. They'll either linger instead of being straight up because they don't want to hurt your feeling. I'm 33 years old. I will cry. I don't care. But please tell me the truth so I don't waste my time. I don't care.
So again, I think, and this is what I put in, this moment to bring back, I put in this out the case. When you're in something so long, you only see what it is from that point. But if you remove yourself and you start dating Asian men or white men or purple men, you start to experience that other side and you start to contrast that, the fact that these men are like black men, because it's a man thing. It's a dating thing. It's a society thing. It's not just a black man thing, because like Kay said, black men and black white men and black women have a better successful rate with divorce. I said it wrong, but you get what I'm saying. have a better. They won't be. They're unlikely to divorce.
Yeah. So what it is the statistics say that out of all the races, out of all the combinations, whether it's black and black, white and white, black and Asian, white and Hispanic, whatever the mix may be, out of all of these combinations, black women with a white man are less likely to end up in divorce. Like, the rate is like extremely high on the fact that they stay together. Like, there's something, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because they both have experienced life with their race and they're like, you know what, that's not for me either, and this person is where I want to be. Maybe that's just how that is. I don't know, but something about that combination just seemed to be a little bit magical. Well, and then, I want to try.
And then you can do the contrast of this. 70% of black fathers are actually better followers than any other race, where white men fall down to 60%. So, I mean, you can always pick your poison on what you want. But if you look at it as an entirety, as a whole, like men themselves and the men I'm choosing, that's where we have to start looking at. Because now you got to say, are the men I'm choosing, are the men I want, am I able to reciprocate what I'm asking for? Or am I a good woman to them? Would I date me? Would I marry me? And if you feel like that, then all right. Now we have to look at the men that you're choosing.
Now, I like that question. Would I marry me? And I can honestly say right now, no, I would not marry me, strictly on the fact that I am just not where I need to be.
They're still healing.
And it's just like, if I'm not actively working on it, how can I be disciplined enough to, you know, handle a relationship if I can't even discipline myself enough to focus on what I need to focus on when I'm by myself?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't need a relationship being another distraction. It's like, oh, like my ex, I was helping him chase all of his entertainment and dancer dreams. Get up, go to the gym, get up. You need to go to practice. No, don't slack off. Go to practice, go to practice, go to practice. Go to this audition, go to this audition. But what was he pouring into me? Nikki, did you paint today? He never asked me that. Sometimes he did, but it was very rare. You know, I know you have to work in the morning, but stay up with me all night. You know, let's listen to music and do stuff all night. I know you got to go to work. So then I go to work and I'm tired because I'm doing everything he wants to do instead of him taking in consideration what I need to do.
So when you're this could be like in the beginning stages or probably like 9 months later on down the road when you fall in love or are in love, you got to start communicating that. I'm sure you did. And if he can't appease you in that realm,
I should have communicated more, to be honest.
Okay, well, so you should have communicated more. At the same time, it's hard for men. Well, men were simple creatures. You probably got to bop us on the head a couple of times.
Oh, and
yeah. We'll start to adhere and then do what you need to do. And from there, that's where it is. It's all about communication. I know a lot of things is hard for women to communicate with men communicate with women because we have this completely different brains.
Word.
But if he's not doing that, and this is for you too, Casey, if he's not adhering to what your needs and or want or going above and beyond for you, then you should remove yourself. And it's hard. It's easier said than done.
Right.
But down the road, you're going to start regretting it and resenting that person. Like she just said, he never supported me in my business, my art business, where all these other people who aren't my boyfriend or random people are supporting me, checking on me, sharing my stuff. And I want the person I love and I'm with to do the same thing.
Right.
I experienced similar things.
Good at sharing the stuff. But my concern came from, you know, if there were events that were important to him, I would make sure, you know, oh, I had my sitter and, you know, I would go to the event. As in when there were events that were important to me, he would show up pretty much as the event is over or after. Like a few art events I had my sister and her girlfriend, longtime roommate, from college. I call her my sister. They would be out there helping me sell, helping me wrap up paintings, helping me do all this setup, takedown, when I felt like my boyfriend should have been there because I know he's not doing anything today.
Yeah, like, no, definitely.
That was his way of showing you in a way that he didn't care.
Yes. And then when it came to towards the end of the relationship, there would be events and everybody else would have their significant other. And he would be like, you don't have to come. You know, never necessarily said out of his mouth, I don't want you to come. There was times where I'm just like, okay. Then when I started to speak up, it was like, why can I not come? I'm free. I don't have my child. I can come and be there. It was, I don't feel like being all lovey-dovey. We were never lovey-dovey in public. Simply, I don't like PDA. I keep it in private, and that's what it is. So I just start seeing these red flags popping up. Like, why didn't you want me? And like there. And then when I saw the new girl, you know, going to the events that, you know, he told me last year he didn't want me at, I'm like, oh, I couldn't go to your staff picnic or whatever. But this new girl can be all up in all the pictures and stuff like that. Oh, okay, I see.
So, you just kind of like. So my ex, like, he did things like that. So like how you were saying, like you poured into him, he didn't pour into you. My ex, like I would be like, hey, I'll pay for you to go for classes for HVAC or whatever you want. I'll pay for me paying for that man's stuff. So I did it. Or I would do it. Or he would be like, oh, like maybe we'll do that later. Or maybe you can give me the money and like I'll pay for the class and he'll use that money for something else. Or it would be like, I want to do something like, oh, when I graduated from CNA school, he came to my graduation, but he was all pissy and pouting because my graduation was on Valentine's Day that year, meaning he couldn't do what he wanted to with someone else before our evening of Valentine's Day. Like, he had plans before it and whatnot, and he was mad he couldn't go. Either way, my question, found out all this stuff after the fact.
My question is, are y'all seeing these, because we can go back and forth about stories, are y'all seeing these red flags or things that aren't necessarily being met in the beginning and continually to talk to these men?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
So you're justifying these actions.
I'll bring it up, or like say I'll like ask certain questions, and he was very good at having a good old comeback or response to whatever question I had. Like,
And that's fine. I can talk all day, but if I'm not acting upon what I'm saying, now it's a problem. I give people, you know, when I'm dating in a relationship, I tell the woman, and you know, so we communicate. Then if it happens again or something like that's not happening, I nudge her. I'm like, hey, baby girl, like, this is what's going on. I know we talked about it. And if she changes it, no, if she doesn't, then I'm like, okay. And this is a need, of course, not anything whimsical.
Yeah, going forward, that is like definitely something that I will have no issues addressing. Because I believe at first, like, same with if we go back to Anthony, the one that was having children behind my back and everything, after everything was over, then I saw why he wouldn't post me on social media or why he didn't bring me around his family a whole lot. At first it was me and my family don't get along, you know, but I was like, okay, when we were just friends, I was around your parents all the time. So when we were together and it was because he had that secret life, you know, with his ex still having children. But as soon as me and him are done, and he makes it very apparent that him and the child's mom is done, then he's posting this new girl. And he never, in our 8 years of being involved, never posted a picture with me. But this new girl, Michelle or whatever, she got all the Instagram photos, got all the Twitter photos, all of that.
Family pictures.
Just like, what? Why could you? What is? Huh? Why am I always being hidden?
So I wouldn't say, and this is the thing, I always look at things from many different perspectives. I don't always say it's the woman's fault. Like, yeah, you'd pick that man, so it's your fault you didn't go off of. Sometimes it's the men too. And if these men aren't showing you exactly who they are and they have alternate plans, then it's them and it's not you. And it hurts and it sucks to say, because you're going to you have a whole introspection on, what did I do wrong? Why aren't you posting me? Why aren't you marrying me, or whatever it may be? So it seems like these men just weren't good men, or boys, we're gonna call them peasants.
Yeah,
and it's not y'all.
Zay was definitely a little boy.
Yeah, because I mean, you said you're supporting. Men love that. I love that when my lady supports me. She's going to my events, and I'm reciprocating that same thing, like sending her emails, like, hey, maybe I found this about your business. In case KC, you're doing his laundry and cooking for him, stuff like that, I reciprocate that too. So these men aren't reciprocating what you're giving them. If these men can't do that or not willing to do that, then they're not good men.
Period.
That's
it does just seem like the percentage of these men is just extremely high. And it's like,
what, trash?
I don't
trash
know men. Who out there is trash. Listening to this, well, but if you are a good man, come to the next podcast and, like, you know, explain why you are a good man and what you're looking for and just different things like that, because we get these comments like, you know, there are good men out there, but where are they? Hello, we're looking for you.
Yeah, I think the next podcast I'm going to do is There's No Good Women. And that's right.
Oh, I want to be on that stuff. One, and we will be on
video. No, it's for the men.
So here's what I do. I'll do a part two for the men, and then I'll intertwine the two, and y'all can hop on.
I didn't hear that. My bad.
No, I got you. I got
but
you.
But I mean, well, I feel like that would be dope, because I just feel like we're not. I don't know. Eventually, we'll find these answers. Like, where are these good men? Are there any true good men out there? And what maybe we need to be looking for certain things. And like in these men while we're out here looking, like, maybe there's some that we're missing, like, we still out here finding the dirt bags. Like, you know, I've been single for like 3 years now. I've encountered some men that were like creme de la creme, like they were like perfect, great job, six figures, all the things that you needed, but they were still like pieces of shit and were going out here doing whatever they wanted to do. And then you have the average man that's not making six figures, that's still a great guy, that still kind of meets all the things that you want him to meet, but still out here being a dirtbag. It's like, where are the guys that want all, that are all the things that they say and actually want one woman and want one, like all the things that come with one woman?
Right.
Where are they at?
Like I told you off phone when we were talking briefly yesterday, those type of men, I consider myself a good man. We're usually in the house, we're reading, we're building, we're trying to just create some type of financial freedom. So when we do have a lady.
It used to baffle me, Casey, because like I know Julian is a good guy, and you know, re-getting to know him over the past couple of years, I didn't understand why you weren't married, but then I also understand why you aren't married now, because again, are there good women out there? Are you haven't just found exactly what you're looking for just yet? But that doesn't exclude you from being like, oh, I'm a good man. So when I looked at myself, again, like you said, where are all the good women at? We're in the house.
You know what we need to do? Like you said, all the good women in the house, all the good men is in the house. Let's have like a book club, whether it's on Zoom, whatever. Like maybe we all need to just read a book together.
Throw some house parties
That's why I suggest women going out to like things like Nikki does art galleries, or to libraries, to things out the ordinary. That
speaking of a library, our homegirl Tiffany, she's an author now, and she'll be doing a book read, and she'll be doing those probably all around at some point. So it's like,
yes, she will.
Shout out to Tiffany.
Like that. So like, you know, things like that are great. Sips and paints are great, especially like
church
to
is great. Well, I don't know, church folk
church
might be
is
the work
touch
folk.
And go.
Church is actually a great place to meet great people, but you can't really figure out how to build a relationship within the church with that person, because there are some people, not saying it's a bad thing, like when you're in church, you're in church, you know, but there are some people that don't like to hang outside of church because they feel that they're going to be tempted or there's going to be some type of temptation. So it's like you have to find your way around to speak to them while in church and see where things could
possibly
go. Well,
you should try to find a singles ministry at your church.
I am part of my singles ministry, and I am part of our young adult ministry, and I see a lot of gentlemen at both of these places, but it's like, once again, it's still kind of hard to navigate talking or courting or dating within church, because there are limits that you can't cross. Well, there shouldn't be, but it's church. There are limits that you can't cross. Like, you can't be out here, being buddy-buddy with people.
Oh, okay, my fault.
You know?
My fault.
Being too close with someone because it gives off the look of something else, especially if you're not married.
So, before we close this out, Case, in your own words, what is a good man to you?
A good man to me is a provider, someone who's going to actually love me for the person that I truly am, like inside and out, all my lows and all my highs. Someone who is going to treat my children as if though they're theirs and not treat them or look at them any type of different.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who loves to go to church, someone who is about family, and I would like to find someone that is really close with their mother, because I feel like a man that is close with their mother will always cherish the woman that he wants to be with. Mm. He will always take care of her.
That's true. My mama's
that's the opposite from my ex.
You know, and just someone who's going to just really be there 100%, like equally me and them together, and you know, just things like that. And then everything else will kind of like play in there and fall into place where it needs to go when it comes to like other things. Like, you don't have to be sexually compatible in the beginning to build a relationship with someone. That can come later. Some people build off the sexual compatibility. I'm not even about that at this point in my life. Like,
okay.
I like
I don't know, like, I just want somebody that, it's really hard to really say, but yeah, provider.
Okay, so provider, someone professor, protector, basically.
Yes.
And a man that's emotionally intelligent.
Yes.
Shallow answer. Okay, Nikki, what about you?
I can say more or less the same, is that I want a man of God, because if you have a relationship with God, then you actually know how to properly lead a family unit. Definitely a provider, educated, because I hate to say it, but you know, it's kind of a value to me, education. Somebody again who will willingly bring or treat Mason like his own. Somebody who has a great relationship with their parents, because I'm ready to go to some other people's cookouts and some other people's family reunions. Okay. I want to go to some other people's game nights. I don't want it always just to be my family game nights. Where is your family? Do you have a good relationship with them?
Yeah.
There has to be, because I have a two-parent household. Where are the men? I need to attract the men with two-parent households.
Okay.
I don't even care if you have a
single parent household. It does make a big difference.
You can have a single parent household, okay. But yeah. You didn't know how everything to y'all better said, yourself.
And I know y'all personally. I don't know y'all as close as we used to be in high school, but I know y'all can reciprocate everything you're asking, plus more.
Hell yeah.
So, all right. Well, right. I know some men are probably listening to this. They'll probably hit me up like, hey, who's Casey? Who's Nikki? What do they look like? Can I have their information? I'll hit you up to see if I can give it to them. So maybe we can start something from there. And I wouldn't lead y'all astray if it was a dog-ass dude, a peasant.
Hey, that's fine.
No.
So, all right. Well, I appreciate y'all both hopping on here.
Right.
All
right.
Thank you again.
I hope not.
We're going to do probably like two more podcasts. I think.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be working. We're going to be working at this. We are both Black business, you know, people, and we got to keep supporting each other. And shoot, I have no problem hopping on a flight and coming down there if I need to. Like, get me out of VA, please.
Well, we're going to set this up, and we'll definitely do that. We got two more coming up. For those who are listening, I hope y'all have a blessed weekend. Thanks again for tuning in. Please rate the podcast, and that's Enlighten Me signing off. Y'all take care now.